Light in this present darkness, this is Abounding Grace. Stumbling about in the darkness? Join us now for a time of light in the Word, Pastor Chris Gordon.
So grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio on this Friday session. We are really still continuing our study of the roles of men and women today, and it's been a challenging week in looking at what has happened and what we are faced with today in our society, and also considering how men and women have abandoned the design that God has given. And today we're suffering all sorts of consequences of that. We have a lot of people hurting. We've got a lot of women who are neglected by their husbands, who are not loved by their husbands. We've got children. Oh, the children of our society are growing up without seeing parents love one another and remain together and showing us a family unit as God has defined it. And this is having devastating effects on the culture and on society at large. And as I said, today I want to just give us a motivation as to why we need to set ourselves to do this. I'll rehearse a little bit more where we left off yesterday with some of the consequences of what this abandonment has brought upon us. Remember earlier in the week that with the Christian man, do you know that he gives today, the finding is that the man today gives his children less than 3 minutes of undivided attention per day. Listen, that's got to have devastating effects on the growth and view of a child as he's forming, as the child is forming, the view of themselves. A father helps a girl, his young girl, form a view of herself as the father shows that nurture and care. And as we do that with children and as we train up our children to love the Lord, the father has to be there. The father has to care for his children. And we saw the struggle that the father is under, that today, because of the curse, he's a work giant. He's good at being outside the home. He can solve problems. He can work hard. He can do about anything else he wants to do. But when it comes to the home, he is totally passive. He is not giving himself to love his family, his wife, the way that he should. And this is a result of the fall. And we looked at this week, we unpacked that the God's way back for the man, and we're going to really look at this next week, is to love his wife, is to self-sacrificially give himself for his wife, to work to make her beautiful and radiant as Christ does the church, to care for his children, to be involved in his family, to lead his family spiritually, to train up children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, to be a vital and integral part of that. That's God's calling for us. And to exemplify the pattern of godliness that shows forth Christ to a lost and dying world, a culture that has no idea how to pull itself out morally and spiritually from the bankruptcy it's in. And then we come to the woman, and yesterday I left off with really looking at the whole feminist movement and critiquing the feminist movement. And remember, we looked at Betty Friedan's book, The Feminine Mystique. And she launched, with her thinking, an entire collective women's movement called feminism. And we contrasted this with the very thing that happened in the garden when the devil came to Eve and said, has God really said that if you eat of this, you know, what did he say? If you eat of the fruit, he says, you can't eat of that tree. No. He knows that in the day that you eat of that tree, you will be as God, knowing good from evil. So she challenged. He was attacking her very position and saying, you can see things now. You don't have to be under his design. You will be your own God. You will be your own self-definer. And that is the motto of feminism. Friedan said, we women need and can trust no other authority than our own personal truth. We are being treated as second-rate sexes, and that we are living under an oppressive, male-dominated, hierarchical structure that needs to go. Patriarchy is done. And so her ideas called for women to lead a collective rebellion, providing a whole new redefinition of womanhood and motherhood. And, you know, it's interesting that in her very promotion of these, what were called consciousness-raising groups that happened throughout the 70s, that the women would get together and talk about how evil men were and how they needed to get out of their relationships. They didn't have to put up with anything. How contrary that was to the very design of 1 Peter. Remember what 1 Peter said? 1 Peter tells women to submit to their husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. In other words, they are not to go about starting consciousness awareness groups. They are to be silent. And they are to set an example and care for their husbands. And by that kind of submissive life, they will actually win over their husbands, who will be so ashamed of their own behavior, they can no longer treat a woman the way that they are doing it when she has responded that way. That's God's design. I didn't write that. That's what he says in 1 Peter. And I know that we have all these exceptions to the norm. I'm not talking about the exceptions to the norm. I'm talking about the general principle that is there given, that a woman has to demonstrate a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. And God's design is totally and completely and radically different than the ideals of feminism. So this is what happened. And you know, as the society bought hook, line, and sinker into the ideals of feminism, so did the church culture. And many mainline churches began to do what the Bible expressly said not to do, and now saying, well, we believe in feminism, so therefore everything that a man should be able to do, a woman should be able to do. They quote Galatians, there's now neither male nor female, we're all one in Christ, to which we say that's talking about salvation. That's not obliterating gender. That's not obliterating gender roles and the assignments God has given. But what we saw was a complete abandonment of the biblical roles in the church. And now we have women running the church. They have taken upon themselves the positions of authority directly contrary to Scripture. And so the denomination that I grew up in, the Christian Reformed Church, before 1970, the whole issue of ordination of women was a non-issue. But after that, in the aftermath and tidal wave of the feminist movement, this became ingrained into many churches' thought, mainline liberal denominations. And they said that the dominant patriarchal attitude of the culture has to go. There's no basis for barring women from ministry positions or for supporting a hierarchical structured roles in marriage. That came right out of one particular minister's book on gender roles in a mainline denomination, Christian denomination in this land. Women should be able to do everything men do. They need liberation. And that is the devil still speaking. My question in this whole thing is to have us think about what the effects have been. You know, the younger generation sees it. It's not working. You know, and I read some of these stats yesterday. Before 1960, there were no cohabitation stats in the U.S. It was so far off the radar, they didn't even keep it. And Mary Cassian has all this in her book, The Feminist Mistake. You know, marriage is dying today altogether. It's rising up to half of people in the U.S. believe marriage is obsolete, fulfilling Paul's warning that right before Christ comes, people will refuse to marry. 44% of people today cohabit before marriage. 41% of all children born in the U.S. are born to single moms, most out of wedlock. And because of divorce rates, over half of all children in the U.S. don't even live with both biological parents. This was barely any in the 70s. Less than one-third of all children have stay-at-home moms. And the crazy thing about all of this, dear listener, this is only 40 to 50 years old. You're living in one of the aftermaths of the greatest satanic assaults on the family outside of the fall the world has ever known. And society today, look at it. Look at the moral bankruptcy. Look at what's happening among leaders, scandal after scandal, all of it. Society is crumbling for the attack on the family that we have all bought into. So the question is, it's this. Do we really want to be obedient and look at the Lord's design, or do we want to do it our way? And to honestly ask the question, has our way really worked? No way. It's been a mess. And we won't make any real change until we can apply the biblical categories to what has happened to our culture. Now, where's the return? I want to close with this week and have us think about it. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How did he do that? He promoted her submission through his love by sacrificially dying for her. We can't do that, right? You may feel like a failure today as a man or even a woman. You know what? You may feel like you've totally messed up everything. I want you to know that God's gospel in Christ is about restoring us. It's a message of hope. The goal for this is all of us to see how much we need the grace of our Lord and to prayerfully lean on him to begin by the power of the Spirit to fulfill the design he's given to us. What's the alternative? What the world suggests? You know what? We have no power in and of ourselves to do this. Why should we want it then? Well, as God gives us power, what are we doing? You know why this is so important today, dear listener? It's because as Christians, we're telling a story. It all comes down to this. Christ is coming again, and being washed in his blood, you're no longer your own. This is not about a woman's rights or a man's rights. They're gone in Christ. You belong to Christ. You surrendered your rights when you came to Christ. It's all about this today. This is what it's about. God began this world with a marriage between a man and a woman, and it fell. And it's all messed up today. And people haven't listened to the way of return. And because of that, society's crumbling. You want that? You want a return, you got to listen to the gospel, the good news. God has announced something. He's ending history, dear friends, with another marriage. Christ's marriage supper with his bride, the church. This gets fundamentally to the purpose of this, why your marriage is so important, why we must give ourselves as husbands and wives to follow the design. Your marriage is telling a story. Your marriage is an object lesson to all those around you of the gospel. God wants everyone to look at our marriages and see Christ, because that's going to be the greatest witness that this sad world has ever seen. God is revealing his mystery, his love, his sacrifice in the man's giving of himself to love his wife, and the wife's silent submission to represent the church's response to Christ. Satan's working overtime in your Christian marriages to make a mockery of this. But our marriages are telling the story of the cross. What does yours tell? You can't make the excuse that you just can't do it. God has given us his son, that he might give us power and strength and a renewed life to honor and glorify him. Your marriages have everything to do with his plan, and that's why Christians should care deeply about this. That's the reason you're here. You want to get out there and do something in your Christian life? You want to make a difference in this sad world? Start there. Start at your kitchen table. Love your children. Love your wives. By grace, may we all become the men and the women that God has called us to be, and not what Satan has pushed upon.